Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to pick up reading in Romans chapter number 12. I want to look in verse number 1 and 2 this morning and really center in on verse number 2 here in just a few minutes. The Bible said this, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, look what the Bible said in verse number 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I want to preach on this thought this morning and tonight, or look at this thought. I may talk more than just rearing back and preaching like I normally do, but I want to talk to you about this thought, your mind, today. Your mind, our mind. Can I tell you something then? Your mind is a battleground this morning. And we better learn how to renew our mind each and every day. Father, help us today. We sure need your touch, and I pray, God, that your will and way would be done in the service. Use us as we preach, and we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Again, the Bible said in verse number 1, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren." I stop right there to call our attention to who the writer of Hebrews is talking to today. He said, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." When we think about that statement and we look at that statement this morning, it is a reminder to me that he is talking to the saved today. He is talking to us that has been born again, because he says, "Brethren." He is talking to the brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." How are we brethren this morning? It's because of the mercy of a holy God this morning. Amen. Then he says this, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Now, I'm not going to spend a great deal of time in verse number 1, but let me say this in passing. Whenever I see that sacrifice, my mind, Brother Timmy, immediately runs back to the Old Testament and to the way it was before Calvary. And what did they do? They brought a sacrifice for the sins of the people, and they placed it on the altar. What had to happen? They had to die. That sacrifice had to die, and then it had to be placed on the altar. Now, know what Paul tells us. Our body is not to be a dead sacrifice. Our body is to be a living sacrifice. If we're dead, we're of no use. But the Bible said this, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. How do we present our bodies a living sacrifice? Well, it's very simple. It's that we abound on the altar. It's that we stay in prayer to God, that we stay in fellowship with Him, and we live our life around the altar and in fellowship with God. He goes on to say this, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You say, "Preacher, I want my life to be holy." Live on the altar. Yeah, man, live on the altar. Because when you're praying and you're in fellowship with God, there's no sin in our life. Here's what he said in the book of Psalms. He said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, then God will not hear our prayers." So if we're living on the altar, our fellowship with God is an open line of communication between us and God. He said that it's holy and acceptable unto God. And then he said this, "Which is your reasonable service." Your reasonable service. He's saying this to us today. It's only reasonable. It's only reasonable that we do this and that we live in the honor of God. Now look what he said in verse number 2. and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. That word right there, look at this word with me this morning. Conformed. He said, and be not conformed. I looked that word conformed up in that 1828 dictionary, and here's what it means. It means made to resemble. And here's what he says to us this morning. Don't be made to resemble this world. Don't live your life that resembles this world. He said, and be not conformed to this world. Now, I thought about this. The Bible is plain and simple. He said this, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. That's still the word of God today. He says this, that we are to be a peculiar people. You say, well, preacher, whenever I'm really trying to live for the Lord and I'm trying to watch what I say and I'm trying to pray and I'm trying to be a Christian witness, every once in a while people look at me like I'm crazy. You're doing it right. You say, what do you mean I'm doing it? He said that we're peculiar. Have you ever seen a peculiar person? Now, let me just back up and say this. Just because they're peculiar don't mean they're serving the Lord all the time. There's some people, man, they're not peculiar. They're just straight up weird. Somebody say amen right there. This does not mean that we have to walk around and the lady has to let her hair grow down to the ground like Rapunzel. And it does not mean that you have to wear a turtleneck your whole life. And it does not mean that the men has to dress like they did in the old days. Thank God, because I'm not putting on a dress today. Somebody say amen right there. That is not what it means. It just means that our life, we're trying our best to live it pleasing to the Holy Ghost and pleasing to God and not resemble this world. Not resemble this world. He said, and be not conformed, made to resemble. Then he says this, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Whenever I read that first, the first thing that comes to my mind is when I was about this big. And you know what we had? It's come back around now. Somebody tell me. Transformers. Did you have some, Brother Stan? Man, they was awesome, wasn't it? Did you have any, Brother Rand? Well, you're a whole lot older than we are. Brother Tim, did you didn't have no Transformers?
No, I had Spider-Man.
You had Spider-Man. I'm sorry. Transformers was better than Spider-Man because you could roll Transformers around and race them off the wheels track. Somebody say amen. And then they could drive to where Spider-Man was at, be bigger and better than Spider-Man, and eat Spider-Man. Put him in the trunk and race back down the track. Somebody say amen. It is being transformed. That word transformed means this, changed in form or external appearance. It means a metamorphosis. You say, well, what is that? The best illustration of transformed is not really Transformers because it's unrealistic. They was cool though, and I still think they're cool. Here's the greatest illustration of transformation or a metamorphosis. Has anybody ever studied a caterpillar? Okay, there's two of y'all in here that shook your head up and down right there. Surely to goodness, you know what happens to a caterpillar. It weaves its way into a cocoon, and when it comes out of that cocoon, it comes out a butterfly. What happened? It was transformed. There was a metamorphosis that took place. And here's what he's saying to us today. Don't be conformed to this world, but what you need to do, you need to be transformed. Can I say it this way? You need to be changed. You need to be changed. How are we transformed? Here's what he says. By the what? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. That word renewing means this. Making new again. Repairing or renovation. Renovation. You know what? Renovation can be a good thing. Are you hearing me? Renovation can bring great change. For instance, I'll give you this real quick. There's an old barn on our land in East Bend. I went over there the other day. It's about to fall in. It's an old tobacco barn. And I took several of the boards off the side of it. Then I'm going to go back in a couple days, and we're going to take a couple of the old poles. It was an old pole tobacco barn, Brother Wade. And we're going to take a couple of those poles out. And when I get those poles out, I'm going to cut them to the right length that I want. Then I'm going to take those old wide 10 and 12 inch wide red oak boards, and I'm going to put them through a planer, and I'm going to take those old poles and cut them to the length I want, and I'm going to make a table to go in my office back here out of Leslie's great-grandpa's old tobacco barn. Now, you know what's going to happen to that? It's going to be renewed. It's going to be renovated, and it's going to be good again. You think about this. You remember in 2016, there used to be a wall right here and a wall right here, and there used to be a wall right here and a wall right here, and that was a little office, and that was a little walkway, and the platform was about this big right here, and then the choir was up here in this little bitty hole. And you know what we done? We transformed the auditorium. We tore all of that out, and you know what? It made it a whole lot better. Now, here's what the Bible's saying to you today. In your mind, there's some things that needs to be renewed. In your mind, there's some things that needs to be renovated. It needs to be renovated. Can I say something to you today? When I got saved, I got saved. Somebody say amen. I got all the salvation that I'll ever need. But I want you to hear me today. My mind and my flesh did not get saved. My soul did. But there's times that my mind is a battleground. It's a battleground. You say, well, preacher, do you ever hear voices? Well, I got to have a good conversation every once in a while, so I talk to myself. You say, is there anybody else in there? All about 45 or 46. It just depends on what day of the week it is. Now, you might as well say amen, because you know I'm preaching it right this morning. We battle in our mind. We battle things. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I live for the Lord? Should I not live for the Lord? Should I completely sell out to God? Should I not completely sell out to God? When we see the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, our mind becomes a battleground of what we're going to do with it. Can I tell you, every sin that you commit starts in your mind. Think about this. The renewing of our mind. I think if there's one thing that we can all agree on today, it's that our mind is a battleground. I thought about this. Adam and Eve fought a battle in their mind in Genesis chapter number 3. I thought about this. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter number 19, he fought a battle in his mind. You remember that story? You know what? Elijah even got to the point where he was suicidal. He got to the point he was suicidal. Why? Because our mind is a battleground. Our mind is a battleground. I thought about this. You remember the story in Matthew chapter number 4 of Jesus? He fought a battle in his mind. The devil came to him, offered him all of those things. You say, well, how did Jesus overcome that? It's plain and simple. Every time the devil came to him, here was his response. It is written. He went back to the Word of God every time. You may say, preacher, why do I need to think about, I'm going to use two words right here, my mental health. Why do I need to think about that? Because you need the right mental health. And, oh boy, it got quiet when I pulled those two words out of our society today, did it not? Mental health. Now I'm going to tell you something today. Our society needs the right mental health today. There is people in our society today that's going crazy. Now, I'm not against them by no means. I promise you I'm not against them. I'll do anything in my power to help them. I love them and I want to help them. But I'm going to tell you something. There's people in our society today that's battling things in their mind. And if you don't learn how to get control of your mind, you're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your spouse. You're going to lose the confidence of your children. You're going to lose everything you've got because of your mind. Because of your mind. Our mind today. Mental health today. I want to say something to you today. We need to learn how to manage our mind. Can I tell you something? Nobody else can manage my mind. My mom and dad tried to. But end of the conclusion of the story is this. They can't manage my mind today. My children, I can teach them right. I can train them right. Brother Matt, I can take them to the house of God. I can instill reading their Bible daily in them. I can instill praying in them. But at the end of the day, they manage their mind. Olivia and I yesterday, she was actually with me whenever I got called out with the sheriff's office, and where I was at, I was a whole lot closer to where I needed to go than coming home. So I told her, I said, I'm going to need you to ride with me and just sit in the truck for a little while. I'm going to try not to be out here long. And whenever I came back, we started up the road and we stopped and got us something to eat. And we just had a long heart-to-heart talk about our mind this morning. You better learn. I'm preaching good this morning, and it's tight as a dog on a tick's back. We better learn how to manage this mind. We better learn how to control this mind. You know what the Bible said, or not the Bible said, Daddy said it. It's pretty close to the Bible. He said an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Let me tell you the worst thing I can do, sit idle. That's the worst thing I can do. You say, preacher, do you never have those times where you just go sit and do nothing? No, I really don't. I try to have a book in my hand. I try to put earbuds in or AirPods in or whatever them things are called and listen to the Word of God or listen to a podcast. You know, let me tell you the reason why. When my mind gets idle, you don't want to know what goes through it. If you knew what went through it, you wouldn't be sitting here listening to me to preach. And if I knew what went through yours, I'd probably be preaching meaner than a junkyard dog right now. Our mind this morning, how do we manage it? How do we control it? Well, the Word of God said it's by the renewing. We have to renovate our mind. Let me show you two or three things. This is not alliterated. This is not expository. I don't tell nobody that I teach Bible college and I've got a doctorate in theology, because all of this fails when it comes to the way you're supposed to outline. But I believe it'll help us. Think about this morning. Number one, your mind. This is just the introduction where I want to get to tonight. Your mind or thoughts control your life. They control your life. Let me tell you the reason you act the way you do sometimes. It's because you sit around and thought about that. It controls your life. It controls your life. Every single action always begins as a thought. If you think a good thought, you know what you're going to do. You're going to do a good thing. If you think a bad thought, then you know what you're going to do. You're going to do a bad thing. It all starts in our mind. Listen to this verse in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Your mind controls your life. Think about this, the control of the mind. He said, gird up the loins of your mind. The picture is of Orientals tying together their gowns so the gowns would not impede action, work, or walk. The mind must be likewise controlled so it does not prevent our work or our walk. When we clutter the mind with improper and unholy and undisciplined thoughts, that will distract and encumber the mind and hinder our performance the way it should be. See, you know what he said? You gird up your mind. You don't let, there's some places I'm not going to let my mind go. You say, what do you do when they start to go there? I get the Word of God out and flood my mind with the Word of God. There's times, and it's not very often, but there's some times when I lay down at night. You know what will happen? I'll lay down, and Miss Leslie will lay down, and then the other man will lay down. The devil. Amen. And you know what he'll do? Brother Tim, he'll get in my mind, and he'll start working in my mind. He'll have me convinced my wife don't love me. He'll have me convinced that my mom and daddy's against me. He'll have me convinced that Brother Robert hates my guts. Somebody might as well holler amen this morning. And you know what I have to do? I have to gird up my mind. And you know what I say? Hey, Google, how can I help you? Play the Bible. And I say, play the book of Psalms. And what I'll do is I'm going to sleep. I listen to the Word of God. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. We must learn to control our mind. Our mind is what controls us. It's what controls our life. It's what controls our actions. So we better learn to control it. Gird it up. He goes on to say this. He said, be sober. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. The calmness in the behavior. I not only see the control of the mind, but I see the calmness of that behavior. It literally means to abstain from intoxication, but in principle it means to behave with calmness. Did y'all catch that? To behave with calmness. To behave with calmness. I tell you right now, I'm going to tell them a thing or two. Let me tell you, the best thing you can do at that point is zip your lips and pray. And pray. And pray. You know, there's sometimes, Brother Stan, there's sometimes we have to confront things. We just have to. But you know what I always do? I try my best to do before I do that. Pray. God, guide my lips. God, guide my thoughts. He said to be sober. In principle, it means to behave in calmness. Think about this, the control of the mind, the calmness of our behavior. Your mind controls your life. Number two this morning, think about this. Your mind is the battleground for sin. Now, I want to say something to you, and I'm going to say more about this as I get into this here in just a minute. Man, time has flown by. But let me just say something right here. When we say your mind is the battleground of sin, immediately, Brother Tim, our mind a lot of times goes to this: drunkenness, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, it goes to what we classify sin as. We'll go eat if y'all help me. It goes to what we classify sin as. But I want you to hear me this morning. Sin, sin. You hold bitterness towards somebody is sin. You turning a cold shoulder to somebody is sin. You not, hey, look up in here, young people. You're not honoring your father and your mother is sin. It just didn't say obey them, but the Bible said honor them. There's times mama would say, take out the trash. I'd go grab the trash. I'd go out the door and she'd say, you obeyed, but you didn't honor. And usually it was as something was flying through the air hitting me. She'd say, the Bible says honor. Y'all think my daddy's a wild man preacher, and you ought to hear my mama one time. Honor. I want to take it a step further. Well, I hope you'll stay with me right here because I'm trying to help us this morning. Sin, sin. When I got married, I got another mom and daddy. His name's Donnie, and her name's Kathy. And you know what, Brother Matt? According to the Word of God, if you're right, you honor Miss Gay. He's shaking his head. Charles is doing this and Matt's doing this. We're fixing to preach into a family feud back here this morning. You honor them. My wife and I became one. And you know what we do when we get to this point right here? Our mind is the battleground of sin. We immediately let our mind run to this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin. But let's just put it right down where the rubber meets the road. If I'm not right with Donnie and Kathy, I'm not right with God. If Matt's not right with Charles and Gay, he's not right with God. And there is sin in our life. There's sin in our life. What did he say? Your mind. Here's what he said. Our mind is the battleground for sin. All temptation starts in the mind. We think temptation is something out there, something external, something that happens that we see out there, and we say, that's tempting me. It wouldn't tempt you if it wasn't appealing to a desire that you have inside of you. All temptation starts at one place, between our ears. As a result of that sin happens in the mind. Listen to what he said in James 1. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with either evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Why do you have the thoughts that you do? Because it's a lustful desire. I'm not talking about a sexual lustful desire. It is a lustful desire for you to get angry at somebody and hold bitterness towards them. And it all starts right here. All starts in our mind. I want you to see this, and I'm going to give you this last point, and we'll go home. There's three steps involved in temptation and sin. Number one, there's desire. God gives us desire for love, success, and different things of this world. Temptation always makes an appeal for us to fulfill a legitimate desire in an illegitimate way. Let me say that again. God gives us desire for love, for success, for a sexual drive in our life. God, I understand that we're in church, but you say, God put that in your life. God designed that. Here is what temptation does. It always makes an appeal for us to fulfill a legitimate desire in an illegitimate, sinful way. And it all starts in our mind. Think about this. If our mind is not girded up, then our thinking can lead us to believe the lie that our desires can be fulfilled in sinful ways. There's desires, there's deception. As a result of a lack of right thinking, we can easily fall into a pattern of sinful behavior. And we are deceived into thinking this will fulfill our desire. We're deceived into thinking. Let me tell you the reason somebody is going to shoot their veins up or is doing that right now. Because in their mind, they're thinking that's going to solve the problem they have. It's deception. Sin is never satisfied. A lot of people think, well, I'll just do this, or I'll just do that, and I'll be satisfied. You know what? You know one thing I can't stand? I'm going to give you one of my pet peeves. Let me give you one of my pet peeves, the silent treatment. The silent treatment. Bless God, if you've got a problem with me, come tell me, and we'll sit down and talk about it, and when we get done, we'll hug each other's neck and go eat a cheeseburger. Somebody say amen right there. But let me tell you what happens. The mind deceives people into thinking that they can withhold that, and you know what it does? It sets up bitterness, and it sets up anger, and all the while, the devil is telling them that they're happy by not dealing with what's there. No, you're not. You're deceived. It's all right there in the mind. There's deception. There's desire. Your mind is the battleground of sin. But then ultimately there's death. Ultimately there's death. James 1:15 said, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now I want to say something to you. I understand that there is a physical death right there. But there is also, I believe that we can make an application because people did not gird up their mind, because they said things they shouldn't say, because they was bullheaded and would not get past something in their life, there has been death to friendships. There's been death to friendships. There's been death in families. Nobody ever died, but they might as well be dead. Because you've done made up your mind. I tell you right now, I ain't talking to them. I don't care what they say. I don't care how they react. I'm not listening to them. And if they come and decide to talk to me, I'll walk away. Man, boy, you're a good Christian. You sure are representing Christ well today. I'm just trying to help you this morning. And what happens? Because our mind wasn't guarded, there's families that hadn't talked in years. There's families that hadn't. I want to say something about a family this morning. I want to say something about a family this morning. When it's all said and done, you hear me in what I'm fixing to say. Your family's all you got. Your family's all you got. The best friends that I have in this world is sitting in this room this morning. Some of my closest friends that I believe at any given moment, some of them's younger than me, some of them's older than me, but I'm going to tell you something, that I believe at any given moment they would be there for me. But I'm going to tell you something, your family, you better cherish. There's sometimes my mother-in-law will say something and I'll think, what in the world? My father-in-law will do something and I'll think, what in the world? But you know what I'm going to do, Brother Tim? I'm going to honor him and I'm going to respect him, because that's what the Bible commands me to do, first and foremost. But secondly, man, he's my family. And there's Brother Kevin. Am I preaching right this morning? There's been so many friendships and so many families that it's been devastated. Because of the mind. Because you could not control the mind. There's death. I see this and I'll be done. Your mind is what controls your life. Your mind is the battleground of sin. But I say this and I'm going to be done. Your mind is the key. Is the key to peace and happiness. Your mind. Your mind is the key. So, preacher, how do I find happiness? Your mind. Your mind. Well, I can't control it. You need to renew it. You need to you transform it. By what? The Word of God. Our mind this morning is the key to happiness. Madeline, will you slide to the piano? Tanya's taking care of KK right there. Well, you think about our mind. It's the key. It is. Listen, I read this the other day. Listen to this. An unmanaged mind brings stress instead of stability. Well, that's the truth. That's the truth. An unmanaged mind, it brings stress instead of stability. Paul, y'all remember Paul? He wrote the book of Romans right here. Y'all remember him? I never met him. I'm going to one day, and I'm interested to talk to him. But Paul has been locked up in prison. Paul's been beaten. Paul suffered shipwreck. Paul has lived a rough life. And in Acts 26, he goes before Agrippa, ends up going before Festus, ends up, Acts 27, starting to sail to Rome and suffering shipwreck again. Acts 28 finds himself in Melita, and you know the story of all that. But in Acts 26, verse number 2, Paul stands before Agrippa, and Agrippa says, Paul, you can speak. And you know what Paul said? Here's what Paul says. Go home and study. Acts 26, verse number 2. I think. His mind. not I think, I think is mine. I think myself happy, King Agrippa. That's the way the man starts the conversation out with Agrippa. He says, hey, I just want you to know something. Everything's bad. Everything's going wrong. I'm locked up. I've been beat. Man, life is awful. But I just want you to know something. I think myself happy. You know what Paul was saying? I refuse to let the cares of this world drag me down. I think myself happy. You remember David, don't you? You remember David, don't you? Here's what David said. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. Man, he's in bad shape. They're trying to find David and kill him. His sons rebelled against him. They want to destroy David. He says he's greatly distressed. But here's the way David ends that verse. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what? I can just see old David possibly sitting in a cave. Brother Brian in the back of it, looking out of what would appear to be just a little hole of daylight, and seeing shadows walk by it and thinking, I wonder if they're coming in here to kill me. And you know what David says and all of that? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm just going to encourage myself in the Lord. And I can't help but to wonder if he didn't begin to sing some of the Psalms and just encouraged himself in the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter number 3, verse 17 through 19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I don't know about anybody else, but that looks pretty bad. That looks real bad. And here's what the Bible said. Yet, even though all of that's going on, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, the chief singer of my stringed instruments. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. Even though everything's going wrong, I'm just going to praise God anyway. He was choosing to think himself happy. Now I want to say something in the closing of this message. There is times, boy, it's going to get real quiet right here, but it'll be all right. There's times that people have a mental illness. There's a such thing as being bipolar. There's different mental illnesses. And I want to say something to you today. God has given us some good godly doctors and some good godly psychiatrists that you can go to. And you don't sin when you have a true mental incapability, if you want to put it that way. A true mental illness. You do not sin when you go to that doctor and you see that doctor. And that doctor says, what you need to do to help stable your mind is take one of these every day. I'm not talking about doping yourself out of your mind. I'm talking about stable. I've got some very close friends that's bipolar. And if they don't take their medicine, Brother Brian, it's Katie bar the door. They some of the best people in the world as long as they're... But you know, Miss Vicki, you worked in EMS for about 42 years. But is that not true? God has given us people to help us. I am in no way, shape, or form telling you you're not supposed to do that. What I'm preaching to you this morning is this. there's a lot of simple things in our life that we don't have to battle with because we don't know how to control our mind. We don't know how to control our mind. It breaks my heart. It absolutely breaks my heart when I see people that's been friends for years and years and years divorce their friendship all because one of them didn't know how to control their mind. That's where it all goes back to. It's where every bit of it goes. When I see families busted up, husbands and wives busted up, brothers and sisters busted up, parents and in-laws busted up, all because somebody just didn't know how to control their mind. You better renew your mind this morning. You better keep your mind stayed on the Lord this morning. It is the key to our happiness. I woke up yesterday. We're going home. I woke up yesterday. You ever woke up on the wrong side of the bed? I woke up yesterday on the wrong side of the bed. You say, why? I don't know. I just did. Do you know what I'd done? I could have sat around the house and been a real blessing. But I looked at Olivia and I said, put your clothes on. She had her pajamas on. I said, put your clothes on. She said, where are we going? I said, we're going up on the mountain where we hunt at. She said, why are we going up there? I said, we're going to go check the camera. We're going to go clean the deer stand out. I said, it's getting cooler, and about next week, we probably need to sling an arrow. And I said, come on, we're going up there. And you know what we did? When we turned up there on the parkway and started up the parkway, I just slowed down a little bit. I said, Olivia, look at those leaves right there. Are they not beautiful? And I don't know if anybody's been up the parkway in the past few days. Man, it's beautiful right now. I said, look at those red leaves. And I was thinking about the blood of Christ whenever I was looking at them. I said, look at those yellow leaves. I said, we went over the overview. And I said, man, look at that. We got up in there where we hunt at. And I told her, I said, we need to walk out in there. She said, no, let's drive the truck. I was in my new truck. And we went in the brown mule. And I said, we don't need to drive out. Oh, yeah, let's drive out in there. I done a 497-point turn out there in that old logging road trying to keep from scratching my truck up. And we come out, and I said, we ain't never driving this truck in there again. You know what I had to do? I had to renew my mind for a little while. I had to renew my mind for a little while. I'm not saying I got this down, but I am saying I think the Lord's helped me over the past few years to learn when to walk away from things for a few minutes. To learn when to step back a few minutes, renewing your mind. How's your mind this morning?